This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. Hi, I am Amber, and today my fabulous co-host is Dr. Zenavia. She is a board-certified dermatologist with a keen interest in hormonal dermatology. We will be talking about that in a bit, but thank you so much for being here, Dr. Zenavia. How's it going?
Thank you, Amber. I'm awesome. I mean, it's a Friday, number one. Number two, I'm not running around in clinic, and it's a lot more fun to be sitting here on a gorgeous day and talking to you.
Where are you? This looks, I mean, I love the plan. It looks very green.
You know what? I am in Newport Beach, California, That's where my office is. And it's kind of gloomy today, but I thought, let me just open the doors and kind of be kind of indoor, outdoor.
It's funny. I was telling, it was my birthday this weekend, and I feel like so many people have been so doom and gloomy lately.
Yes.
And, you know, I put in this message, hey, the world can be a scary place, but it's also filled with opportunities and literally bursting with life, which you can see behind you.
You're so
literally.
Happy birthday, my fellow Virgo. My birthday was a week ago.
When was your birthday?
Yeah, August 26th.
Oh, so you're like right on the cusp.
Right on the cusp. So yeah, I have a little bit of Leo in me, but definitely Virgo. And your, what day is your birthday?
Mine is September 6th. And
you know,
it's
did
funny.
Did you have a good one?
I did. Yeah. I really did. I was with family, my husband. It was a beautiful sunny day and I was at the beach.
Okay. Awesome. And where are you? Are you in Los Angeles?
I'm in New York.
Oh, okay. New York. Oh my gosh.
You can't tell from the shoebox behind me.
No, but oh my God. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Bi-coastal.
So yes, I love this. We've got beauty coast to coast today. So Fridays for me are also kind of my day to do podcast recordings. I went this morning to, I'm like obsessed right now with trying to get my life organized.
I know. What is it? It's that nesting thing that happens in early fall. It's that female gene trigger.
Is that what it is? Because
yes.
I feel like I went to Bed Bath & Beyond. I went to the Container Store and but everything is sold out.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I know. I think I've been on I cleaned out my garage this weekend. We had a record heat weekend and I'm like, we're doing it. We're throwing away your baby books, you know? And it's just like, I don't know what it is. I'm just like in the cleaning frenzy mode, just like you said.
Isn't it? It feels good. And it's like, I'm letting go of stuff.
Yes.
That I have been holding onto and hoarding onto. We've got a guest bedroom and I decided that, you know, with the fall coming up and who knows what's going on with the world, I don't think people are really going to be coming to visit us. So I'm turning it into like, in my head, it's going to be this like fabulous, chic closet, dressing room, yoga studio.
Oh, cute. Yes.
I mean, it's like 10 by 10, but I've got big dreams.
Yeah, I know, the lifestyle room, right?
Yes.
Super fun. I love that stuff.
So good. Yeah. It's, I'm glad to know that my, what I call my craziness in my head is maybe just what we're going to call nesting.
Yes. And you know what? It's so, the older I get, the more I realize I am kind of a prisoner of my genes. And I see my kind of diurnal, like, you know, circadian rhythm of my like seasonal fluctuations. And believe it or not, it happens. And since I've had kids, I notice it too. Like around springtime, my kids kind of go batshit crazy. And
oh,
I'm
really?
Like, oh my God. It's because animals and humans begin mating in the spring. And so all these little teenagers get kind of wicked to each other and kind of like into each other. And it's very interesting. And then it kind of all settles down in the fall. Just like bears begin to hibernate, so do humans. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, as being a September, August baby for us, our parents were getting busy like right around the holidays.
Exactly.
You know, when they were staying in with nothing to do. You know, I love that you were talking about how hormones, because this is your specialty. And mm-hmm. I found this so interesting. So I just turned 41. Mm-hmm. My older sister, my sister-in-law has me terrified of menopause. She makes it sound like the most horrific thing. I'm praying. I don't remember my mother having a hard time with it. I did call her up to just kind of say, when did it start? What do I need to do? What am I expecting?
Yeah.
But you know, but hormonal dermatology isn't really just for these like lifetime, like once you get your period, once you are pregnant, once you hit menopause, like we're dealing with this throughout our lives, correct?
Totally. And I think that's the, I love that you just said that, because one of the things that I think people do is they name things, but like, you know, perimenopause versus menopause. And it's not like a moment in time, like your period stopped or you got hot flashes. It's not like that. It's almost like this 5 to 10 year, like shade of gray where your body changes slowly. And obviously we know about the kind of the classic symptoms, headaches, irritability, insomnia, mood, you know, whatever it is, you know, hot flashes, but it doesn't really quite happen that way. It kind of starts, I think, about your late 30s, early 40s, and you just begin to change. Your mood changes, your sleep changes, and it almost creeps in on you. And a lot of times what happens is women start, you know, their husbands start to nag, God, you're always crabby, or you just kind of don't feel right. Some days you do, some days you don't, and it creeps in on you. So it's all these different phases in life. Even my daughter, when it's not like she started being a brat to me at 13 when she started her period, she started getting snarky around 9. By around 10 or 11, I could see she had like mood shifts every month, even though she didn't have her period. So I think these hormonal changes in women's lives are not a digital system. It's not on and off. It's analog. It kind of shows up.
That's so interesting though, because I feel like I thought when I hit 40, which, you know, making these milestone, that part of my, I don't want to say snarkiness, but part of my no bullshit filter was the fact that it was no bullshit filter. Like, but maybe it's also because I'm getting more irritable. Is that what you're saying?
Like some of these, a little bit. I think it's a combination. I think you as a person develop like cognitively and psychologically. So you're kind of like, look, I know what I like and I know what I need. And I think I'm not saying that, you know, like, you know, being self-confident or self-assured is a sign of hormonal change, but I think it's a slippery slope. I'm talking about, you know, the 45-year-old woman who comes to me and is like, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock every morning. I don't know what it is. I think that is a classic sign of early menopause.
Shoot. Because, oh God, I have not.
You're waking up and you're like, and you're thinking about everything that you haven't done that day, right? Or like what you need to get done. I think that's a little bit of like hormonal shift in the brain.
Oh man. So, okay. That just scared the living bejesus out of me because I have been getting up and not been able to sleep through the night. And I figured it was just kind of like stress, anxiety, COVID, but
it's a little bit of that too. I totally think, I mean, and this is the thing about the body, Amber. It's like, it's so hard to say, is it this? Is it that? And there's a soup of molecules in your system. There's this like, you know, cocktail of hormones and then a cocktail of immunologic factors, and everything is kind of impacting you in this motion. And so I just felt like hormones in general, as I began to kind of hit some shifts in life myself, just like you're, you know, I'm so petrified of menopause and looking older or feeling bad or not having the energy. And the key thing you said earlier about your mom, you're like, I kind of don't remember my mom having such a hard time. It's because our moms and grandmas didn't have to feel good all the time. We're a different generation. We're like popping Prozac when we have like a first sign of like upsetness. You know, it's like our generation doesn't want to feel bad. We kind of want to feel good all the time. Where like our grandmas, they dealt with the perturbations of life. You know, they weren't like talking to the therapist about everything or expecting their husband to be nice to them all the time. So our lives are, we're so optimizing our lives at every moment that we're focusing on things and we kind of don't want to suffer. We don't want to do what our grandparents did, which, you know, have a baby without, you know, an epidural or whatever the hell they did. You know, we kind of want to go through life a little bit more comfortable. And I think that menopause and perimenopause is a transition that we go through and we don't want to ignore our symptoms. And I think that's where the focus comes. It's generational. So
you are like blowing my mind right now, especially with that fact that you just said that we are all kind of trying to optimize our lives. And I think that at some point, like social media, do you feel like that like really plays into it, that we're all trying to, my freaking organization today, I was like, did these baskets go? And it's like, really, I'm putting stuff. My husband's always like, you're trying to put stuff in a closet, but make it look nice. Why?
Yeah. Like it's
give yourself a break. Stuff.
I mean, I'm sure you heard of this, but you know how people say, oh my God, that's a first world order issue. You know, like that. And it's like, it is. And it's like, we're so goddamn privileged. You know, I mean, I told my kids the other day, like I woke up and, you know, that fire in Moria on the island of Lesbos for the Syrian refugee. I'm just like, you guys, we have nothing to worry about. Okay. Can you stop complaining that you forgot the mask at home that you wanted to wear to school? Like Jesus freaking Christ, we've got nothing to worry about. We need to be so grateful and like look around and stop being so first world. So I have to check myself sometimes before I wreck myself, but yes, we constantly try to optimize, and it's a little paralyzing to be honest, because we never relax. We're never just like, you know, who cares what closets look like? I mean, I'm constantly thinking what needs to be done. It's a sickness.
Even on vacation, it's like, what are we doing next? What are we eating for dinner? What am I going to wear tomorrow? I know. We're nuts. I mean, I'm glad you brought up that thing. I saw this image of this woman carrying her child from Lesbos. And I thought the same thing. Holy yes. Jesus, just like say, be grounded in gratitude in this very minute. Yes. And you thank the God, the universe, and just luck that we're not dealing with.
And
that.
The next layer would be, gosh, what can I do to help? Like I'm a citizen of this world. What can I do? You know? So anyways, it just, again, I think it grounds us. And oh my God, Amber, I love you already. You're so awesome.
I know who you're talking to. So wait, before we now totally derail this, because I could talk to you forever, let's go back to hormonal dermatology, because this is, like you said, you know, you're super interested in this. Yeah. What exactly is hormonal dermatology? How does it differ from, you know, regular dermatology?
Got it. So, you know, it's kind of just like a semantical word. There's no like extra training or specialty or anything. I just, you know, as a board certified dermatologist, I mean, I do all things dermatology. I do, you know, medical surgical dermatology, acne, psoriasis, lupus, and then I do surgical dermatology. I cut out skin cancers and I look under the microscope and look in and determine if your biopsy is cancerous or not. So I kind of am the entire bread and butter of derm. But what I began to notice is that, you know, when I started getting into aesthetic medicine and a lot of cosmetics, I saw women that were coming to me for, let's say, Botox or lasers or fillers. And I just started to notice that skin began to change at various stages of female lives. And a lot of it had to do with massive hormone shifts. Mm. And, you know, hormones in dermatology, you know, you in medical specialties, you kind of allocate your specialty and like, you know, oh, you have a hormone issue, go to the endocrinologist. Right. Oh, you have an immunologic allergy issue, go to the immunologist. But as a skin expert, there's no one really refer after me, right? If you have a skin issue, like I can't say go to this specialist. I am the specialist. And so I love to know all things about the skin at a deep level. Okay. I think I'm equally fascinated with the immune system. I think the skin is the largest immune organ, and I see immune changes in the skin all the time. And I just kind of began to see hormonal, specific hormonal issues that impacted the skin, and primarily at teenage years, you know, acne is a very hormonal problem, Amber.
Well, acne is not, I do want to stop you quickly because I want to say, first of all, I feel like, I think that there is no category for hormonal dermatologists. I thank you for doing this because I think every woman out there right now is saying, thank you. I think that if men were dealing with this, we would have 85 different specialties. And that's just not to not to be shitting all over our men, but it's just the way of the world. But, you know, I know, yes, you know, we think of acne specifically as something when you have when you're younger, but I have so many women now who are my friends in their 30s and 40s who are getting adult acne. And maskne now we know is real. And it's almost like they don't know what to do, like where to go for this. Because it's something that, and also that a lot of the products that are geared towards teens probably aren't going to be the same for them. Correct.
Oh my God. Spot on, baby. So yeah. And it's not like acne is just hormonal, right? I mean, acne is both inflammatory comedonal and bacterial and hormonal. There's four pathophysiologic reasons. And depending on your age cohort, it might be more hormonal when you're 30. It might be more bacterial when you're like a teenage boy and you're not washing your face at night. I mean, the components of acne are all there, but it might be, you might have more proclivity for inflammation because of your genetic profile. So again, hormones play a part in all acne, but the amount of hormonal involvement may be different dependent on your, you know, age cohort. But right. No matter what, you don't see a 3-year-old walking around with acne or an 80-year-old walking around with acne. That's because their hormones are down, right? They don't have that hormonal kind of influence. So we do tend to see acne as a disease spike between 11 and 16, and then again, 25 to like 40. There is those two kind of epidermal kind of curves. So epidemiologic curves, that is. So there is patterns of disease, and I think that hormones play a part in all of it.
I think it's so interesting that you just said that. You're right. You never see a 3-year-old with acne. Yeah. You never see an 80-year-old with acne. Yeah. That is just not fair. But I guess, hey, it gives us something to look forward to. So I happen to know, I have talked about it on the podcast quite a bit. I did 5 rounds of IVF over a number of years. And when people used to, I've been blessed. So I never had bad periods. I never broke out during them. But when I started taking these crazy amounts of hormones, many things happened. I developed lumps in my breasts that luckily have been checked over and are fine. But they were there and they didn't go away. I had much more difficult periods and I would lose my hair.
Yeah. Big time.
And these were all things that I was telling, you know, my, God bless him, he was a male doctor, but he's just kind of like,
What about like feeling crazy and hyper with the progesterone? Like, oh my God, right? I mean, that's tough too.
I mean, let's not even go there. I'm surprised that like women on IVF medications are allowed to walk the streets freely.
Exactly.
Because
no, I know.
I was like a ticking fucking time bomb. You got either somebody would be like, hi, and I'd want to break down crying, or like the littlest thing would set me off.
I know. And all that stuff. And it's like your brain, your body, your skin is a victim to all that stuff that's happening internally. And just treating the surface is not what I thought was addressing like the skin. So that's kind of what I started to connect. And even when you talk about what other the hormone stages, I mean, forget about puberty and acne. What about like pregnancy and melasma, and then like go into the 50-year-old woman who's like, I'm putting moisturizer on my face every day and I'm still dry. That is definitely hormonal. So all of that kind of stuff is all, again, kind of, there's a hormone impact on the skin, and I just felt that it was a white space and I just started to investigate it more deeply. That's all.
Well, let's just, we don't have to dive deep on this, but let's talk about some of these stages and things that we can expect and maybe what we can do. So let's talk about, you know, pregnancy. What are some of the changes that you feel like maybe people, because it's funny, I talk to women and I can't, of course, think of anything right now, but everyone who's ever gotten pregnant was like, nobody told me.
Correct. Okay. So I saw a pregnant lady yesterday, and she was this absolutely flawless little Japanese woman who had a baby at 38, and the baby's like 6 months old, and she's like, my skin has totally changed, yada, yada. And she went through all the changes. So basically during pregnancy, one of the things that happens in your body is you are in a state of mild immunosuppression. So that in general, your immune cells are down. So skin conditions like psoriasis, eczema, those things tend to get better because those diseases are kind of an overactive immune system. So when you shut down the immune system a little bit, they're a little bit better. One of the other key things that happens during pregnancy to the skin is we have a pituitary gland in our brain that is stimulated by hormones, particularly the anterior pituitary has melanin stimulating hormone, which is MSH. And that is very active during pregnancy. So what happens is your brain or your pituitary gland starts spitting out MSH, melanin stimulating hormone. So your nipples get darker. Your linea alba forms, which is the line between your belly button and your pubic area. Your moles get darker. You get melasma. So all the things that melanin does turns on. And so women start to freak out.
Is melasma specifically, is that something that will reverse itself once you're not pregnant, or is it something that you can have?
Great question. Forever. Great question. I think melasma is one of the most misunderstood conditions. I think melasma is both, all hormonal, environmental, and genetic. I think there's all components. And now let me add one more thing. About 5 years ago, the Pigmentary Disorder Clinic in UCLA, led by Dr. Pearl Grimes, who's an amazing physician and contributor to the derm literature, she kind of brought out another point about melasma, and it's very vascular. So there's vessels in our skin, and when they're dilated during pregnancy, as they commonly are, you can cause more blood flow to the melanocyte, and that causes more pigment. So a lot of times we'll treat melasma with like lasers that get rid of the blood vessel. You're not even targeting the brown. The brown is just like first order. What's under the brown that's causing the brown? So I think it's a complicated disorder, but it is hormonal. It is environmental, definitely sun-induced, and a little bit genetic and vascular in nature. So you got to throw the kitchen sink at it.
For our listeners who are out there who might be pregnant, who might have been pregnant, who might have melasma, I will say this, because I'm speaking to experts like yourself and experts my entire life, don't necessarily just go on Groupon and get a laser, because certain lasers can make melasma way worse. You really need to go to a board certified dermatologist. Even the plastic surgeons, I feel like, are not as good. I know. Well, I know this because I've talked to them forever, and it's really, you need to go to a board certified derm.
Yeah. And you know what I tell people too, and this is a key thing that you asked, Amber, was your melasma kind of comes and goes. It's not like you can get rid of it and it's gone forever. Your body makes it. So I say it like dandruff. Your body makes dandruff. You can wash your dandruff away. I guarantee your dandruff is going to come back because that's your body. So melasma, if you're a melasma baby, you got to play with it. You got to know how to manage it. You got to treat it. So it's
And I'm speaking from experience, because I went and had, I think it was the halo laser, and it made some of the spots were great, and then some of them got worse. And my dermatologist, who I love you, Dr. Jabber, was like, why didn't you call me first? Because was melasma and you should not have. Anyway, lesson learned.
So in my office, it's so funny that you say that. I say, we can't get rid of your melasma. We're going to manage it.
Yes.
We call it management of melasma. MM, baby. M&Ms.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. And then let's talk about, premenopause, menopause, and perimenopause.
Okay. So one of the key things that I think is kind of becoming more well known in the field of dermatology is that the collagen content in your skin, which is the dewiness of our epidermis, right? There's the epidermis, which is a very thin layer, the dermis, which is the spongy layer that causes the turgor of the skin. We all talk about collagen stem. We drink collagen. We put fibroblasts on our skin. I mean, we do everything to boost collagen, but what the hell is collagen? Collagen is just a protein in the tissue, and it really adds the volume of the skin. And so collagen content in your tissue is very correlated to the amount of estrogen you have in your skin.
Okay.
And so as your estrogen goes down, your collagen goes down. As your estrogen goes up, your collagen goes up. Estrogen is a proliferative hormone. It causes cell proliferation. It boosts tissue growth. It boosts fat growth. It boosts fibroblasts. So I think that as you begin to shift in your estrogen profile as a woman, your estrogen goes down a little. That's not to say, Amber, that you go and get a blood test and your doctor's like, you're low in estrogen. It's not that simple. Let's say your estrogen is super high at like 18 and then 20 and then by 25 and 30, and then it kind of goes down a little bit. You're not like losing, you know, your period or anything. You're not losing the estrogen effect, but it slightly shifts and it precipitously goes down with age. Right. And so what happens is your estrogen goes down, your collagen goes down because it's no longer there to proliferate. So I think that you can consider estrogen and collagen like a one-to-one slope in your body. And wow. So as we begin to lose estrogen, you begin to lose collagen. You begin to get drier because it causes transepidermal water loss. So you become more dehydrated. You get dry heels. You can't get wet as easily when you're having sex. You get itchier and drier. You need more moisturizer. All that is related to estrogen deficiency.
Do you as a derm, do you support, and I know this is a very personal decision for each woman, but do you support taking estrogen supplements?
It's an amazing question. And the thing is I do think estrogen support for a woman going through perimenopause and menopause is important. I think though it's a complicated question because as you know, the Women's Health Initiative was a huge study done by the FDA about, I would say 15 years ago. And the Women's Health Initiative kind of scared all physicians across the board about hormone replacement therapy. And the study has been unraveled and detangled on many levels. But one of the key things that people are afraid of is, you know, just going and taking estrogen, we felt could worsen your chance of getting breast cancer in certain families and certain patients. So there was kind of this link between estrogen replacement therapy and breast cancer. And all of us were like, oh my God, no more estrogen. And so we kind of ricocheted when we got that study. And then hormone replacement therapy became a negative and a dirty word. But now we've kind of unraveled it a little bit over the last, you know, two decades. And we've realized, wait, in the right person, under the right conditions, without, let's say, estrogen receptor positive breast cancer patients or people that have strong family history of a breast cancer, it's extremely valuable in life to have estrogen supplementation. But I do think you need to be individually evaluated for that. It's not just something you can take lightly because estrogen is a very powerful hormone, and to take it for beauty and then have something else bad happen to you is just stupid. Yeah, so you need a board certified endocrinologist or your OB-GYN doctor who is closely connected to your past medical history, your family history, who can make those decisions with you. So it's a tricky question.
And then other than hormone replacement therapy, are there any things that we can be doing to help, you know, facilitate and boost our own estrogen leading up to perimenopause?
So like, for example, a lot of the functional medicine people talk about ashwagandha and some of the adaptogens. Adaptogens are things that kind of turn on sort of genes. And, you know, in general, like for example, eating cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower, they're really high in some of the estradiol, they turn on certain genes for estradiol. So those are some of the things that you can do to kind of boost your estrogen. Healthy, active sex life keeps all your juices flowing in that positive feedback loop. But technically, you know, just taking estrogen or putting an estrogen patch is kind of a direct way to supplement your body with estrogen. But there's also, you know, things like having a healthy, active sex life, eating cruciferous vegetables, talking to a functional medicine doctor, how to take like over-the-counter supplements to help boost your natural kind of, you know, cells to make more estrogen. It is kind of a behavioral lifestyle thing. But right. Then you got to flip the switch. When do I see an OB-GYN doctor? When do I see an endocrine doctor to kind of, because, and that's when you start really feeling symptoms of perimenopause that are affecting you daily. I'm not right. Sleeping. I'm a bitch all the time. I'm irritable or all those things. You need to see somebody to look at your hormone profile and see how they can tweak that. From a skin perspective, right? Because I don't claim to be an endocrinologist or an OB-GYN doctor, but from a cutaneous perspective, you know, I do think there are things that you can do to boost your collagen or decrease your transepidermal water loss. And those are the things that I started to look into specifically. As a derm, what can we do topically to help at the local level boost your kind of estrogen effect?
What are your thoughts on like the collagen that we're putting into shakes? Because I've heard that
It's a really interesting question. Okay, bottom line is anything you put in your mouth, I don't care if it's a vitamin, a drug, a milkshake, or spinach, anything you put in your mouth.
I love that you went to spin a milkshake before spinach. I love you.
Okay. Anything you put
in
your mouth.
Thank you, a girl my hope. No, yeah. I'm like such a cookie person. And it was like, yes, cookies spinach. Yeah, of course.
I turned and looked at the plant and saw green. So I said spinach. Okay. So
good.
Anything you put in your mouth, Amber, has to go through the human digestive tract.
Yeah. Okay.
You never take anything that doesn't break down in the hydrochloric acid of your GI tract and then goes through the pancreatic enzymes where they get hydrolyzed into different amino acids and protein derivatives. Nothing stays intact when you swallow it. You go through saliva, enzymes, then it goes through the stomach, which has hydrochloric acid, then it goes through the pancreas. I mean, it goes through the entire GI tract, and so all food gets broken down. Now, when you drink collagen, does that little molecule go into the cells, go out of the intestines, and go into your skin? Not really. But what it does, it's another source of protein that your digestive system chops up into the amino acids. Now those amino acids can go into your system, and then your skin can kind of put those amino acids together to build collagen, but it doesn't go in as collagen onto your skin. Might as well eat a piece of chicken. Okay.
Cause it's, thank you. So, amino acids. And that's what I love to do on this podcast is not look, if you're a person and you love the collagen and you swear by it and you are dumping it into milkshakes, go right ahead. But if you're somebody who's like, am I going to spend $80 on this collagen and put it in my shake? I've always told people from what I've heard, better places to put your money.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. I do. And I'm always so afraid to have like a permanent podcast where I say something and then it becomes incorrect in 10 years. But in general, like if I just stick to like my medical knowledge and I think about pathophysiology and kind of the fundamentals of biochemistry and cell biology, you kind of can't go wrong because, we didn't know DNA existed before 1953.
I was just saying, girl, do you remember? I feel like the doctors used to like be like, smoking isn't bad for you. I mean, remember the CDC was like, you don't need to wear masks. So let's just say the brightest and the best minds will give you a pass. But from what we know right now, today, and that's why I say, it's like, if it makes you feel good to do that, sure. But if you're somebody who is trying to find the best places to budget their beauty bucks, maybe don't do it on that supplement. Correct. Maybe you can do it on products. And now I do want to talk about the fact that you just launched your own fabulous product line.
I did. So
can you tell us about that?
So it's kind of a big endeavor. And I mean, at heart, Amber, I am like a traditional bread and butter doctor. I love the one-on-one interaction with my patients. That's where my heart is. That's my kernel of truth, right? Right there where I'm in the room and I'm connecting with a teenager or I'm talking to a mom about her husband cheating on her and what she's going to do with the kids. Like that's where my nugget is. Okay. But I started to think about hormones and its effect on skin. And I began to see all these various stages of life that are impacted by it. And I just felt that it wasn't being addressed. So I partnered with a chemist and we started to tinker. And I've always been kind of a cosmeceutical kind of, like freak. And I think that cosmeceutical science is fascinating.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what's out there is marketing and hype. And the chemistry of what's in a bottle is so critical and misunderstood. And there's a lot of snake oil out there. And as a medical scientist, kind of applying basic chemistry and science, and I'm a cherry picker. Like I love this sunscreen at Target, but I like this serum from whoever.
Sure.
It's a lot very ingredient and vehicle kind of chemistry. And so I began to formulate, what can we do on the skin to kind of help those hormonal stages in life and supplement? And I fell upon, a brilliant partner who basically together we formulated a skincare line that basically addresses two main things. One is acne, which is very hormonal and anti-aging. And I call it my essentials line because it's essential for everyone. And it takes a very special molecule called genistein, which is a phytoestrogen. It's a plant-based estrogen. And it's not a hero agent. It's not a one-hit wonder. It's nothing like that. But I felt that the preliminary studies on genistein as basically a topical, safe, plant-based estrogen-like molecule really showed promising benefits on the skin, both in acne and in anti-aging. And so I kind of created a little cocktail and I made a line. And it was like an amazing kind of 5-year experience.
Congratulations. 5 years. That must be like such a journey. I do want to give you a little bit of props because I recently have been working with New Beauty Magazine and I find that they seek out people and products who really are into the science, who are into delivering real results. I know you are a super friend of the brand. I really look at them as one of my go-tos because I think that a lot of, look, magazines are really about things that smell nice and feel pretty and maybe look pretty on the shelf. Yeah. But when it comes to getting real results, I know that New Beauty is really, that's what they're all about. And I know that they are such fans of you.
Yes. And you know what? I'll tell you, I think that one of the hardest things today, and you know this more than anybody, because I can tell that you do this on your own show, is finding real information. I mean,
yeah.
Like people get Google educated. Like we've lost our respect for authority. You know, we listen to like the Clinique counter representative more than we do like the dermatologist, you know? And it's like finding like an authority that understands. And like for me, like when I take my car to the mechanic, I want him to give me like the real bottom. Do I really need to change the radiator right now, Joe? You know, or it's like, I go to my dermatologist. Is this cream really working for me, doctor? What is it doing? So real information based on facts, clinical trials is like where doctors hold their standard. And I'd love to elevate the beauty industry to that level. And that's what New Beauty does.
I love it too, because you know what? You brought up a good point with your car. People, much like cars, it's not a one size fits all. So if you drive 3,000 miles and I drive 3,000 miles, one of us might need an oil change, one of us might not. Yeah. I've seen 60-year-old women that look 40. I've seen 60-year-old women that look like they're 90. So I feel like it really, it's not a one size fits all. And I'm glad that you agreed to come on because I did. I wanted to have a podcast where people could hear from experts like yourself, where they could hear and learn and listen, because there's people who are out there probably like, I don't have any hormonal issues, but guess what? Shoot, trust me, when you get from 30 to 40, you're going to start to be like, thank God this information and Dr. Z is out there helping us out.
The other thing is like just the mere fact that like you're so inquisitive, Amber, and you're kind of like a digger. You want to get to the bottom of things. I mean, isn't that what we're all looking for? We're all looking for that source of information where we can become more educated so that we can make better decisions. And we're not like just wasting our money or wasting our time on bullshit, you know? And that's kind of what we're looking for.
And listen, I've fallen prey to the fancy, packaged, expensive product that like really I could have bought Eucerin for.
I love it. That's exactly right. Eucerin's my fave.
You know, but listen, we all fall to that. So, but I do want to congratulate you on your line. I haven't been able to try it because literally it just launched like 5 minutes ago.
It's launching actually tomorrow. So,
well, by the time this runs though, this will be on Tuesday. So we're recording on Friday, but everybody who's listening, we go on Tuesday. So by the time this goes to air, the podcast or your line will have launched. And where can we get it? Because I know at first
before you buy anything, you guys, or before I want you to learn about it, and you can learn a lot at drzenovia.com, Z-E-N-O-V-I-A. That's my full name. And drzenovia.com will be selling the products, Amber, for for the preliminary launch. And then it'll be selling at Sephora.com exclusively in October. So
congratulations. That's big. It's big to get into Sephora.
I'm so excited. You can't imagine.
And, And I have to just tell people, you have such a great Instagram. You do all of these great Instagram lives. You just did a masterclass. So for people who want to check that out, it is also Dr. Zenovia, D-R-Z-E-N-O-V-I-A. You've got such great information. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
I'm going to send you a whole package of my stuff so you can try it.
Awesome.
I want you to love it. I think I'm going to send you the essentials line because it's essential for everyone. And I know that you're kind of an expert on Retin-A and all sort of stuff. I've seen some of the things that you've done. So I really want you to try my retinol. It's like a prescription in a bottle. Yes.
I love retinols. I love retinols. Oh, amazing. So you have a retinol in your essential line. Great.
I made a retinol eye cream because people are afraid to put it on their eyes. So I really think it's amazing for eye wrinkles and one of the first signs of losing your collagen there.
What's the percentage of retinol in your product?
0.1% is prescription. Okay.
Yeah.
It's prescription. So you have to be careful because essentially mine is the pure form of tretinoin. So, but it's encased in a micropolymer. So the delivery system allowed me to get it to 0.05%.
Okay.
Which is basically just under prescription strength. So it's super effective. But the key thing is the way that I kind of encased it in a micropolymer where you get like sustained release and its absorption, you will not get irritated. So
right.
It's a beautifully effective retinol without irritation.
I do feel like somebody told me, because I tried to go from a 0.5 SkinMedica to their 0.1 and it was not pretty. I've gotten to do it once a week, but somebody was like, you're basically giving yourself a chemical peel.
Yeah, you
maybe
are.
Stop that. But they were like, the 0.5 is really all you need.
It is. Now, this is interesting. And this is very interesting. You know, that little shedding that you get just to teach you something, that little kind of oh my God, I'm starting to shed. That is a marker, Amber, for collagen stimulation. When your epidermis begins to shed, you kind of want it to be right at that edge because that means it's working. So
okay.
People are like, oh yeah, I retinize. And I'm like, girl, you ain't shedding. That means it ain't working. Okay.
Right.
So you want to be at that point. You're not to be like a scaly freak, but just at the border of slightly dry, that means the retinol is triggering those fibroblasts to create like epidermal sloughing. And you want that.
And that's why I went from, because I was at 0.5 and 0.5. And when I started the 0.5, there was that sloughing and that, I don't want to say irritation because it wasn't red, but my skin started to peel.
Yeah.
And you know, I used it religiously and then it stopped. So I was like, maybe it's time for the 0.1.
And the other thing is I like advancing my patients to the highest dose that they can take for sure. But you want to train your skin. So let's say you went to the 0.1. I would have you do like 0.5 Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
That's what I do.
And like 0.1 Tuesday, Thursday. And then like slowly you shift. Or if you start seeing irritation, you add a little moisturizer, put water on your face first. So there's tricks to getting your skin used to higher doses of retinol. And then you kind of transition into it. It's like drinking beer. It takes you 2 to get a buzz. Before you know it, you need 3 to get a buzz. So it's just, you know, you need to train your receptors and slowly with retinol.
Girl, when travel starts again, I am coming out. We are going for boozy milkshakes together because
I
bet are a ton of fun. Thank you for that. You have such great information. And again, if people want to find you, they can find you at drzenovia.com. Check out her Instagram. It's amazing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Amber. You're amazing. Have a wonderful weekend, darling. Bye.
You too. And everybody at home, you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at artbeautypodcast.com. And of course, here on YouTube at Art Beauty Podcast. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.